Good morning, brethren. It's been a pleasure to meet all of you all here today on this Sabbath day, the day that God has set apart, and we are here on this day, and it's a big privilege to meet everyone. And Mr. Fred is here, and this is my first trip to the U.S., and I'm really extremely glad that I can given a chance to speak in front of a big crowd. Since this is my first speech, I hope I can do my best. My name is Andrew Moses. I'm from Malaysia. We all know my dad is Joseph Moses. So I was ordained as a local elder by Mr. Roy Asante during the first day of the Unleavened Bread this year. And it's been a pleasure that I've been given a chance to lead the group back in Malaysia. And this is my first trip to the United States. First, I would like to thank Mr. Fred Coulter for giving me the opportunity, giving me the chance and a dream come true for me to be here, to meet him, and to meet all of y'all. As we don't have this, we don't have a big crowd, or we don't have anybody outside from our congregation that we meet up for the past 17 years. So it's a great opportunity that I'm able to be here and speaking in front of y'all. I would like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Roy Asante for their effort that they have taken, and they know that we are scattered, and they came to Malaysia and visit all of us. That's a big shock that everyone has gone through. That it's a pleasure for us, and we have other congregation back in Malaysia which they feel that we are not part of God's plan or God's chosen ones. So when Mr. Roy and his wife were there, and things have changed extremely. Things have gone from what we can imagine. And people think that we have a minister coming over to Malaysia, or how you can have a minister when you don't have a congregation. I mean, you don't have a church. So it's a big turning point that we had during the time. And to make it even worse, and I was ordained as a local elder. So here it goes, and things have gone, I can say it has gone to a better side, so that people know that God is really working with us, and things are going in his way and his plan. You all know my dad was in the Worldwide Church of God in 1970. So he was a deacon in the Worldwide Church. And I've discussed this with many of y'all ever since I came here from the first time. So what we had in 1992, there's a watering down period that my dad had to decide to choose God or to choose church. So he said that you have to go all out to think about the church and God's commandment and God's truth. So he decided to leave, and he was doing a thorough Bible study on it, and he was going through, you know, great time of problem and trials that coming along. He didn't give up. He was doing his Bible study continuously and to prove things are wrong. So once he got the answer, he was going all out to the people in the church, where there are about 60 or 70 of them who listened, you know, who's been brought by my dad to the church in Worldwide. So my dad went back to them and told them that this is going wrong and all that. So he was able to change their mind and bring them out. And the first step he did is joining Global Church. The reason he joined Global Church is because there's a booklet called God Is. And it's talking about servant leadership. So he thought, oh, we have got the right channel to go in. So when he goes into the church, then he still feels something is not right. And in 1993, he received a CBCG cassette from one of the church members back in Malaysia. So he'll start listening to that, and that is a turning point, and he feel that what he wants, he got in the message. So he was extremely happy about it, and he was, you know, overjoyed what is going on in his life, and he feel that God is really blessing by giving him the truth and whatever he need in spiritual life. So he start to listen to Mr. Fred Coulter, the messages, and he was going through that, and he was learning and learning and learning. So when I was young, I always think that my dad is someone who is great in spiritual, because he lead by the example. he can just answer your question there and there when you need, because the spiritual thing in his mind is extreme. God has really blessed him. So all these years we've been thinking that, or everyone think that their own father is great, but for us we think that our dad is great. And all of a sudden he had to say something that, oh, now I have a spiritual teacher. Spiritual teacher in a sense that he have to bring out someone to say that, oh, I got a teacher, you know, and all that. So we kind of shocked to hear that he's telling that he have a teacher, you know, and his name is Mr. Fred Coulter. So here it goes from that time onwards, you know, it's everything is in the Bible, and everything is been proved from the Bible that we have to walk in God's way in the right channel. So we decided to stay with my dad, and it took us about 5 years, four years, and my dad left, leaving church, from global to living, and leaving, he left. But he tried to convey the message and tell the people, and none of them listens to him. So they reject him. So he feel that he's rejected, but he still feel that standing alone for God is what, you know, what is important in life, rather than having fellowship with members. Fellowship in God the Father and Jesus Christ is the most important and a crucial thing in our life. So he left, and we as a family still attend to Living Church for about 1 year plus, and we left in 1999. So from then onwards, we kept going all the way, and it's been 17 years that we've been listening to Mr. Fred and his messages, and God has given him a lot of wisdom and understanding, because he seek God. He seek God. He want to know more. And it's like a treasure. You are hunting for the treasure. That's what he's been doing. Like what Mr. Steve said, that, you know, we are not making him as an idol. But for us, we all love him so much, because we know that he's really speaking the truth, and God is giving him the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that he's still doing his learning. He didn't stop. He's keep going on and going on and going on. And that's a benefit for us. The more he learned, the more he's going to teach us. So we grow in that manner. I just want to share something about the Sabbath keeping from my childhood, that we used to have, the tradition that my dad had for the Sabbath. He made it a point that he wanted to have a Sabbath tradition that, you know, we should keep in a way that we're supposed to keep, not to, you know, not to defile it in any way. So what about keeping of the Sabbath? So my dad is a very strict and straightforward person about God's matter, and there is no choice that you can have an alteration or that is against the word of God. So it's kind of this. So you have to follow accordingly. So we as a family, we joined our dad, and we were keeping, and I have six sisters, and I'm the only son. It's weird. I have six sisters, and my mom and dad. My mom was, she's a baptized member. She was baptized in 1974, 2 years later than my dad. My dad was baptized in 1972. So we as a family, we are keeping the Sabbath in a way that I can just give you examples. Like, we don't really attend schools on Saturdays. We do have classes on Saturdays, and we do have exams on Saturdays, but we never attend any of the classes or any exams. It's because when we come to our dad and tell dad we have exam on the Sabbath and all that, and people will think, oh, that's going to spoil the future of your child that you have to send on the Sabbath. So what my dad will do is he will pray to God and ask God to help, and here he goes to the school, and he will talk to the teacher, or he will talk to the principal about we are not going for the exam during Sabbath and all that. So what will happen? They will bring it forward or backward. They will give us the exam, so we don't miss out on the exam. So it's a great miracle that God has worked with us all in our life, so we didn't have to go on the Sabbath or to go and do whatever we need to do on the Sabbath. And in fact, I had the same experience, you know, when I was playing football for my club in Kuala Lumpur. So we have all the Saturday trainings and all that, but we do have games on Sundays. So I won't be attending the training session or the meeting during Saturdays. But the next day, I'll be the first person on the in the list and the match list that I'll be playing. Then here comes the players. Oh, Andrew is not coming for the training or meeting or whatever on Saturdays, and here you give him the first choice chance. The only thing the manager says, because he's good. So that's what we experience God's spirit and what, how God works things with us, and everything go our way all this while. So here's a kind of a tradition that we used to have Sabbath. We used to have Sabbath Friday night meal as a family. We used to be together as a family. And here after the meal, we'll have Bible study or Bible quiz. That's a tradition that my dad will keep us all close to the Word of God, and we will be very close to God. We will keep everything together. And the next day morning, he'll still have another session of Bible study. And those who are staying with him, they have to go through that before we can go for our Sabbath service in the afternoon. So this become a tradition that my dad feel that we have to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to defile it in any way. We have to keep it all the way along, the whole 24 hours, the time we sleep and then the time we get up. He wants us to be in God's way. We have to learn God's truth, because that's the day that the sign between God and us, that we need to keep the day that we're supposed to keep. Since my mom passed away in 2011, and it's kind of a big loss for not only for us, and it's a big loss for my dad, because my mom was ill and she was bedridden, and still my dad missed her presence. So that he's really going through a tough time, but he still showed that he's strong in Christ and he's strong in Word of God and all that. But he still have this feeling that he left alone because my mom gone. So just after 2 years, my dad passed on, and I was a bit dejected that time, that I did not know what to do in that situation, because even though I'm married with a son, but I still feel I need my dad badly. So we had, all of us, we are so sad and we don't know what to do, and we have been mourning, and it's been going on for maybe a few months. Then I realized that, you know, things is not right, that we have to go on like this. Then I decided to take hold of my dad's duty to take care of the flock, to take care of the brethren around. So I stood up, I prayed to God, and then I'm back. And I told my sisters that I'm going to hold fast to what dad have taught us. And those who are going to be with me, we're going to go all out with the CBCG. There's no changes. So my sisters agreed, and we all formed the group again, and we was doing it what my father have done. We have been practicing and doing it for some time, and it's been going on now. It's about 2 years it's been going on. And I would like to refer to some of the scriptures pertain to the Sabbath. We go to Exodus 20. Exodus 20 is a common chapter. Verse 8-11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor the stranger within your gates. For the 6 days the Lord made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. So here we learn that God really preserved the day. He commanded the day, he rested on the day, and he made it holy, that he won that day for us, for the human being. So please turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So Christ is telling that the Sabbath is made for us. So God specially choose that day, the seventh day, for us. The day that we have been sanctified, and we need to be with God the Father and Jesus Christ on that day. There is no way that we can do our own thing. And let's turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So the same thing is happening here. God commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day. God is really, really serious about keeping the Sabbath. It's not anything that, you know, we should think about other than what we are doing on the Sabbath. Turn with me to Exodus 31 and verse 17. And God said, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel. For the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and he was refreshed. So he was telling the children of Israel that this is the commanded day that we cannot escape from anything that we are doing. So on the Sabbath day, what we have to do is to get together, assemble ourselves before God, and that's where we keep the Sabbath. And turn with me to Isaiah 58 and verse 13. If you turn a foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your own desires on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not pursuing your own desires, nor speaking your own words. So brethren, the Sabbath is a connection, like what Mr. Fred was telling about the Sabbath, that is a connection between us and God. So it's a sign between us and God that we have to keep the Sabbath day holy and not to defile it in any way. So people here, they have a lot of their own thing, experience, you know, they have kind of own interpretation, I can say, that they will make the chapters suits them for what they are doing during the Sabbath. So Sabbath is a commanded day that we don't have a choice. So when we have that to speak about the Sabbath, there is no other way, there is no other choice we have regards to the Sabbath. We can't alter or we can't do anything of our own. So there is no question that things are just going in a way that we supposed to do. You know, the world have its own way, but we are out of the world. We are not of the world. So we need to keep the Sabbath day holy. So that is far most important. And here it goes, like people have things like in Luke 14:5, that the ox in the ditch. So it cannot be the ox in the ditch all the Sabbath. You know, it's impossible. So it's like a kind of maybe an emergency in your lifetime. Maybe there's one emergency. So that's what we call as ox in the ditch. It's not that every Sabbath that you have a situation, you bring in this chapter, the scriptures, and tell them, oh, we have this problem, that problem. So you are deceiving your own self by doing this. You're not pleasing God. You're deceiving your own self. So what will happen? God is looking at everyone of what we are doing, what we are speaking, and what we are doing on the Sabbath. We are accountable for everything that we are doing. So brethren, I would like to thank for the opportunity that I had to speak with you all today. It's been a pleasure to be with you all. Have a wonderful Sabbath. Thank you.